This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
If you're part of the online dating scene, you may have come across the private Facebook group Are We Dating the Same Guy Dublin? It's a members-only group where women can share notes on the men they've met online or where they can warn others about men they've already dated. The first Facebook group of its kind was set up in New York 2 years ago, but now there are more than 200 groups serving cities all around the world. The Dublin version, where women can swap notes on men who are using Irish dating apps, has nearly 50,000 members. And while the intention is to keep women safe from dangerous or toxic men, there's no real way to ensure that what has been posted is accurate. And this has led to legal action in the US.
A Chicago man is suing dozens of women for $75 million after they wrote negative reviews about him on a dating Facebook page called Are We Dating the Same Guy?
Well, a group of local women say they are now forced to defend themselves in court after they took to social media to warn other women about a potential suitor.
So why have these Are We Dating the Same Guy groups gained so much traction? And what risks do they pose for the women posting and for the men who are being posted about? This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, Are We Dating the Same Guy? Why women are turning to private Facebook groups to screen potential dates. In this episode, I'm joined by Brittany Shamus and Marisa Leite, two journalists from the Washington Post, who have been investigating Are We Dating the Same Guy Facebook groups, how they started, and how they've upended lives. Marisa, maybe we can start with you. Can you begin by telling us about this private Facebook group? It's called Are We Dating the Same Guy? What is it and what does it do?
Yeah, it's a network of hundreds of groups across the United States and some in other countries that are meant to give women a way to sort of vet men that they might be dating or considering dating. So women will go there and they are supposed to share potentially dangerous or serious in a negative way kinds of experiences. It's a warning network that is somewhat private, but also has become very, very public over the past 2 years. It started in New York City about 2 years ago by a woman named Paola Sanchez. She is 29 or so. She went to the University of California at Santa Barbara, and she started this with saying that the idea was to make dating safer for women, that women were often going into dates not knowing much about who they were meeting. In an era of online dating, you often just have a photo and a couple of lines of text. And she said that she wanted to give women a way to sort of share intel and make dating safer.
So it's basically to find out if your prospective date or maybe somebody you've been seeing for a very short period of time is already seeing somebody else, if you're in a catfish situation or if there are any red flags. But how does it work? Look, say I'm chatting to a guy on a dating site and I want to find out a bit more about him. What do I do?
So you can go into the group and search a guy's first name to see if he's already been posted by somebody else. You can also make a post. Usually, or often they follow a format where the woman will write something along the lines of, here's a guy's first name, here's a photo from his dating app, any red flags or tea. That's sort of the slang to say, is there anything I should know about this guy? And people will weigh in the comments if they've encountered him before.
And is it just women allowed to join this Facebook group? I mean, how do they prevent men from infiltrating the group?
It is just women who are allowed to join. There are admins and moderators of the groups, and they aim to keep only women in by vetting profiles before people join. The founder, Paola Sanchez, has acknowledged that it's not a perfect system, that there are men who have gotten into these groups to see what's being posted. So that's something that I think women in these groups have become aware of, that although it is supposed to be a safe space, it is not always quite as closed as it might purport to be.
And are there rules about what women can say about the guys that they see on these sites? So, are there parameters?
There are rules. There's a list that people have to acknowledge before they join the group. And they include essentially what you say in the groups needs to be true, that you shouldn't be making disparaging remarks about people's appearances, that this group is not supposed to be about hating men. So these are rules that kind of pop up when you request to join and people are asked to acknowledge them before they're admitted. Of course, enforcing them can be challenging just because of the huge size of the groups.
Now, Brittany, one of the main rules for members is that this is a closed group, that when people join the group, when women join the group, they mustn't let men know that the man has been featured on the group. And the idea behind that is to keep women, the women who are posting about these men, is to keep these women safe. But, you know, what goes online doesn't ever, ever stay online. And this is, in fact, becoming an increasing problem within these groups. Can you tell me about one woman that you interviewed, a woman called Jocelyn? And she spoke to you about her experience after she posted about her ex-partner.
Yes. So Jocelyn is a woman who's in her 30s. She was living in the Pacific Northwest, and she sort of extracted herself from what she has described as a very unhealthy, abusive relationship with a man to whom she had been engaged. And she was trying to sort of recover from this ordeal that she had been through. But one thing that was hard for her is she kept blaming herself for what had gone wrong. And so she was talking to a therapist, and her therapist suggested to her that she should try to find other women who had experienced something like she had, and kind of look to them for some support getting through the trauma of this relationship. And so she heard about these Facebook groups, and she thought, well, maybe that's a place that I could find some support. So she posted in one of the groups about her ex, and she was kind of hoping that she would find other women who maybe had experienced something similar. She ultimately got nervous having that information out there, and so she took it down. But she soon found out that it had made its way back to her ex, who she had broken off contact with him, but he sort of exploded back into her life, texting her, telling her that he had lost his job, and just, you know, shattering this no contact wall that she had deliberately built up in a way that was pretty scary for her.
Marissa, in the piece, you reported on the case of a woman called Shannon Hoyt. She had posted about her ex-boyfriend online and in one of these Facebook groups. Can you tell me about her story? It's a very tragic story.
Yeah, Shannon Hyatt was a young woman in her 20s living in Columbus, Ohio. After she and her boyfriend broke up, she posted about him in one of these Facebook groups and in a few other places online. And she accused him of stealing money and prescription medication. She said she was trying to warn other women about him if they encounter him on Tinder or something like that. A few days later, she was stabbed to death in her home. Her ex-boyfriend is accused of killing her. Prosecutors said in court that he told police that he was upset about her disparaging remarks on social media about him. So again, we don't know if he saw that specific comment in "Are we dating the same guy?" if he was referring to something else, but it does demonstrate the stakes of posting in one of these groups, that sometimes women do warn about a man and word gets back to that man. And in this case, allegedly, he retaliated in a very serious way.
Coming up, will lawsuits taken against women using these groups in the US lead to the end of "Are We Dating the Same Guy?"
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Well, Brittany, hopefully the majority of women using Are We Dating the Same Guy are doing so in the interest of keeping other women safe. But there's nothing, is there, stopping women from joining the group and saying anything, completely false statements about innocent men, even men they've never met. I mean, how big of a problem is this in these groups? And what kind of stories have you come across?
So we talked to several men who, interestingly, they said that they supported the idea of the groups done correctly, that if they were used truly to warn against true harmful things, that they would be in favor of them. But a few men that we spoke to insisted that the things that they were accused of doing were absolutely untrue and had really wreaked havoc in their lives. So there was one man that we talked to who spoke to us anonymously. He found out he was in one of these groups, and it began with some harmless sort of banter between group members who were commenting on the fact that there was a picture of him and his dogs, and everyone's talking about how cute the dogs are. And then all of a sudden, things just took a complete turn, and they were accusing him of being intimate with the dogs. And so this was like really horrifying to him and really sent him into a panic of people thinking that he had done this horrible thing. In that case, the comments were taken down eventually, but it still really stuck with him to the point where he became convinced that everybody was thinking this terrible thing about him and that he wouldn't be able to escape it.
I think this brings us to the legal action being taken in Los Angeles by a man called Stuart Lucas Murray. He's suing more than 50 women for talking about him in the LA group of Are We Dating the Same Guy? Marissa, what kind of things were being said about him in that group?
Well, we know what he says was posted about him. He says that he was accused of a range of things as serious as killing his ex-girlfriend to as sort of mundane as lying about having a PhD.
It all started with this post on the Facebook group, Are We Dating the Same Guy? When Olivia and Vanessa saw the post and all the comments, they added their own experiences.
He seemed, in my opinion, pretty smug and very arrogant. The entire date, he was putting me down for various things, my job included.
Vanessa never went on a date with Murray because she says she didn't like the messages he sent her, at one point even calling her a moron.
Everything I said was just my experience with him and my opinions on how I think, you know, he should not be on dating sites.
He named several women in this lawsuit, which is part of why it has gotten a lot of attention. Although there have been plenty of other lawsuits where men have sued women who have posted about them, and those defamation cases are in progress.
The women we spoke with feel they did nothing wrong. They say the truth and their opinions are protected against defamation.
So just last week, the first lawsuit that Murray filed against one of these women who had posted about him in the group, a woman named Vanessa Valdez, was thrown out by the judge. Now, in Ireland, our defamation laws are much tighter than they are in the US. In general, the law here is more favourable towards the plaintiff. And in reality, the practicalities of taking a defamation case here might prove difficult in these instances. For example, high cost of taking a case, and particularly when the person has posted anonymously, and women post anonymously on Are We Dating the Same Guy? And as far as we know, there has been no legal action regarding these groups yet. So Marissa, what are legal experts saying about the validity of Murray's case and of similar defamation cases in the US?
Well, we haven't talked to legal experts about this particular case, but we've talked to them in general about defamation cases. And basically, women in these groups are protected if they're sharing an opinion, like he was boring. That's an opinion. They're protected if what they say is true. So it is hard for men to prove that there are facts, they were false, they harmed them. It is, there have been, men have talked about trying to file a class action suit, but that is also tough because each individual circumstance is different and it's hard to really generalize in these kinds of cases.
Well, I mean, I suppose this brings us to the sort of the crux of the problem, really, is that men aren't allowed to go in the groups to defend themselves in any way. So posts just go unchallenged. What happens when men ask for posts to be taken down, to be removed?
So we, as part of our reporting, spoke to several people who used to moderate the groups, and we saw some of the sort of materials that are sent to people involved in running the groups. And what we found was that those running the groups are encouraged to essentially just ignore messages from men who are asking for their posts to come down. And the thinking is like, it's better if the people running the groups haven't even seen these messages at all. And so what we have found is that oftentimes those pleas kind of go unanswered.
Which seems really unfair, just in terms of natural justice, doesn't it?
That was certainly the feeling among the men that we talked to, absolutely, that, you know, the court of public opinion like has already decided on me and I don't even exactly know what all is being said. I have no way of responding to it. So that was definitely a theme that we heard from the men.
So Are We Dating the Same Guy is, you know, obviously women posting. Have there been any kind of corresponding online groups set up by men?
There have been a few groups that have been set up called Are We Dating the Same Woman? Are We Dating the Same Girl? Things along those lines. They have not gotten to nearly the size or reach of the group started by Paola Sanchez to vet men.
I mean, you know, I'm really conscious that if this was a site, a male site, rating women or having opinions about women, you know, would be calling it misogynistic from, you know, here to next week. That would be the instant response. I mean, is this regarded as a misandrist site?
I think the central tension of these groups is that from the perspective of women, they are just trying to keep each other safe. They're trying to warn each other about men who might be dangerous or harmful in some way. And they would say these groups need to be closed because look what happens when posts leak. Women have been put in harm's way. This has to be a closed off network. And the tension is that, as we've talked about from the men's perspective, it is, you know, I don't get a chance to defend myself. And it is hard to reconcile that tension. I think it's also important that these groups are intended to be about serious violations of safety. They're supposed to be about warning of abuse, warning of cheating. There are rules that people in the groups are supposed to agree to, saying we're not just going to post mean comments about someone. We're not going to criticize their physical appearance or their sexual prowess. They are supposed to stick to a kind of narrow path. In practice, that is hard because it's the internet. And as we wrote in the story, rules are sometimes more like suggestions. But I think the intended purpose of the group and the reality of it have somewhat diverged.
Now, Murray, in his case, he's also suing Meta and so on. Of course he is. But he's also suing Paola Sanchez. And she set up a GoFundMe to help with legal costs, but she also has plans to move the discussion and the groups off Facebook and onto an app. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, she is building an app that she says will make the groups more secure, for example, by not allowing screenshots. So she is essentially acknowledging that there are limits to the way that these groups can operate when they are on Facebook, which is a platform that they don't control. And she's trying to take it onto a platform that is entirely her own, where she has more more levers to pull in terms of what she thinks will make it more safe.
And I suppose regardless of where the discussion ends up, you know, whether Sanchez does manage to bring it off Facebook and develop an app, the way of vetting potential dates is, or women's desire to vet potential dates, is probably not going to go away anytime soon.
No, I don't think it will. And I mean, I think one of the other main things that we found was that, you know, it wasn't just men who were sometimes harmed by these groups, but women too. You know, they really put trust in the groups and trust in the idea that what they were posting was only going to be shared within the like sisterhood of members there. And then instead, the information got out and, you know, oftentimes it went right back to the man that they were warning against. And so we felt like that was a big concern too. And it's not the case that this happens every single time, but when it does, it can really make people feel like they've been put in harm's way or that their trust was misplaced.
You've been doing deep dives into online dating for this story, talking to people who've had really bad experiences and so on. If either of you are dating, has it changed the way you approach online dating?
Neither of us are, but I would say what we have seen in our social circles is that a lot of women are in these groups. People who are single and actively dating men are generally aware of the groups. They're often in them to some degree. Maybe they're active in them. Maybe they're just kind of keeping an eye on them. But I think some women are in them to get a sense of men they might go on a date with. And some are in them because they are sort of a very unusual kind of sometimes wild environment. And people are curious.
I mean, does this not sort of really speak to the commodification of relationships, you know, in that we go and stay in a hotel? Well, we have to look on TripAdvisor first to see how it's rated. Like, does this not speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it described as the Yelp for men, in that, you know, that sense of like, how many stars are we going to give this guy? What are the pros and cons of him? Well, I mean, one way that we looked at it too was like, this is sort of the internet trying to solve a problem created by the internet. People are feeling like online dating can be dangerous and a free-for-all. And because of that, they want to be able to do more vetting. But the vetting is happening on the internet, and you have the same sort of environment that has caused the problem, if that makes sense. So, you know, you still have the sort of free-for-all and the lack of information.
And the lack of verified sources.
Yes, exactly.
Marissa and Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today. For more reporting on relationships and dating, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by Suzanne Brennan. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.